Today, we'd like to see the title of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, in Isaiah chapter 36, verses 1 to 22. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 6, look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed. Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 10. Have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Last question in verse 17. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? In the last time in Isaiah chapter 35 verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Under the puppet of law, we could be living in utopia now. God was just trying to protect us, as God in His law is seeking to protect us from destroying ourselves from misery, pain, or suffering that sin always brings. God has shown us what is good, but we have rebelled against the law of God, and so we are suffering the consequence in this world in which we live. In the new world, we sincerely repent, love Jesus, and place our trust in Him. We are redeemed, ransomed, and will not experience the consequence of sin. We will rejoice everlasting joy in communion and fellowship with God. There is no sorrow, no pain, no death, for the former things have passed away. Maranatha, O Lord, come. This is our heart for daily life. From the same mistakes of the history, we might know how to live. So now we are looking at the historical background when Isaiah was writing this chapter, these things over this chapter. First one, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Hezekiah was the 12th good king of Judah during 716 up to 687 before Christ. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. Assyria, Babylon, and Kedar were today in the area of Iraq. In 704 before Christ, Sennacherib had conquered Judah except the capital city of Jerusalem. Verse 2. Then the king of Assyria sent to Rabshakeh with the great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. Rabshakeh is a title for the chief command. Lachish was one of the major Philistine cities. he had taken the country of Philistines to the Gaza area. Verse 3. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asa, the record, came out to him. The chief commander of Assyria came to Jerusalem, and these heads of Jerusalem came out to the wall to talk with him. Verse 4. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, this says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust?" Rabshakeh delivered the message to Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. "I say you speak having plans and power for words, and they are more mere words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? 6. Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed. Egypt, on which if a man lands, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is a Pharaoh king of Egypt to all who trust in him." Hezekiah sent a treasurer to Egypt who would help Israel against the Assyrians. Hezekiah and the people of Judah trusted horses, chariots, and horsemen of the Egypt, but not God. Egypt was a pagan nation. It's an unequal yoke. It is always a sad day when the servants of God are rebuked by the pagan world. Where men who were supposed servants of God have done unbiblical things, and they have received the rebuke of the pagan world, like the lost flavor of salt or no light. Here is Hezekiah, basically a good king, but he is receiving rebuke from this pagan king, Sennacherib. And so, don't lose our flavor of the salt of the earth and the light of the world, but be kept the flavor of salt, the light in the world, by the Spirit, whose salt is the word of God. The cross reference right there. Verse 7, "But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'?" Sennacherib knew God's name, but he didn't know his ways. Hezekiah destroyed all the altars for idols throughout the land, centering worship for God at the altar of the temple at Jerusalem. Sennacherib saw this as a weakness, that he thought that Jehovah would be angry in the sense. But Hezekiah was actually seeking the love of God against the other gods in a part of the spiritual reformation. Because Sennacherib believed all gods are equal, including Yahweh. That's a problem. Verse 8, "Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them." Now Rabshakeh said, "Blasphemy. If you would put 2,000 riders on the horses that we would give you, you still don't have a chance against us because we have no the horsemen." Verse 9. "How then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen?" Verse 10, "Have I now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Hey, you think I am here without your God? Your God is the one that sent me here to destroy you. Now at this point, he convinced the people God had turned against them. The Assyrian hoped to convince the people of Judah to surrender without fighting. But Isaiah already delivered the word of God that God would destroy Assyrians like Midian and Egypt. And further, they would not destroy Jerusalem. So the people of Judah were not afraid of them. It's a lesson that when you know what God says, you will not fall for Satan's lies here beyond the Leviticus of blasphemy against God. Verse 11, then Eliakim, Sheva, and Joah said to Levisaka, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. God's punishment was previously described in Sebena, but his commandment Eliakim, and they and Joshua, Joah asked to Rabbezeket to speak in Aramaic language, not in Hebrew language, because there were a lot of people from Jerusalem were standing on the wall and listening to him. Verse 12, but Rabbezeket said, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you. Hey, my message isn't for you and your king, but my message is for the common people on the wall. Verse 13, then the Rabbezeket stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Rabbezeket directed now to the people over Judah. Assyrians knew what Hezekiah had done because they must have had some supplies in the city of Jerusalem. Don't trust Hezekiah, saying, trust in the Lord. Verse 10, do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by your presence and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and everyone of you drink the waters of his own cistern, that's a present or gift. Surrender, give up to Assyria because of a lot of presents right there. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, new wine, a land of bread and vineyard. Now the Assyrian, question 3. Assyrians, when they conquered the people, had taken them and carried them to another land, they would transfer people around. They were separated from their family, own people, culture, or belief. This repopulating movement of people to another land was for the purposes of demoralizing them from the divine morality of the scripture, and for making them incapable of rebelling against Assyria. Let's exhort one another to assemble ourselves on the day approaching. We learn. verse 18 up to 20. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of this land have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? The gods of other cities which Assyria had conquered had not been able to help their people. You are trusting in Yahweh. He is no better than those other gods. The other gods won't be able to help them. Neither will Yahweh help you. The pride of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, would go before destruction. His haughty spirit would go before a fall. As Isaiah delivered God's word against Assyria, not to come into the city for his own sake, for his servant David's sake. Judah, the southern nation, through David's lineage, other than Israel, the northern nation already conquered by Assyria in 722 before Christ. Cross reference right there. 20, but they held their peace and answered him. In other words, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. So the people of Judah obeyed the king Hezekiah, and they just sat there, and they listened, but they did not answer. Verse 22, and Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asa, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. Tearing their clothes was a sign of grief. There seems to be no way out. Let's see what Hezekiah did in the next chapter. So we covered all the questions, continuing to keep on praying for all missionaries, especially praying for the Peru mission tour, May 20 up to 28, to keep on praying. Also prayer for continuing ministry. A lot of countries, South Sudan, Ukraine, and so on. Also, we present contemporary Christian music video, so first time. So Christian CCMC, a ministry over CCH pressure, you know, publish, continue to keep on prayer for them to expand in, you know, His kingdom. May God bless you, everyone. Bye.